First Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And I had to go back because it's been a while, right? since we were in this, and I last thing I preached on was the end of all things is at hand. That is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Well, I will tell you, if you look at the world, you will believe, you would think the end of all things is at hand. Amen. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news, but when I read this and I think to myself, I think it was California just passed a law, if you don't know about it, and this really angers me. And if it doesn't anger you, then you need the second half of the verse we're going to talk about. But California just passed a bill that you can exterminate a child up to 28 days after it's born. After it's born. Post-birth abortion is what they're calling it. No. Let me help you out. It's called murder. So when we look at this and I read in 1 Peter 4, 7, but the end of all things is at hand. You can go back and listen to that if you wish. But guys, we are in dire straits as a country, as a society, right? And we can't be silent anymore, and we can't be quiet anymore, and we can't close our eyes to the world and go, oh, it's not in my house, because it's coming to your house. And so Peter has in here, the end of all things is at hand. And then he says, therefore, because the things, the end is near, right? The end of all things is at hand. It's here. It's upon us. I believe that in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus says that this is all that's going to happen, and when you see this happen, know that I'm at the door. I'm at the door. That means we're close. And I think as a society, I think as a whole, the world as a whole, I believe that we are at the end, and I believe Jesus is at the door. Therefore, and when we see a therefore, we would look back to find out what it's there for, but we already did. And so he says, because everything is at the end, like we're here, we are, dude, I'm telling you, Jesus is like this on the door. He's ready to open it. So then Peter says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. If you're visiting with us, you will quickly find out that it takes me 6 weeks to go through one word. And today, I will be done with verse 7 and then verse 8 next week. And hopefully 8 and 9 I can add together. And then 10 and 11 I'll put together. And of course, you know, listen, that's hopefully, right? But in 9 or 7, he says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And the first thing that I want you to see, that godly thinking is at the heart of communion with God. Godly thinking is at the heart of communion with God. If you're not thinking things of God and you're going to God and you're asking for things of the world, I'm going to tell you right now, God's not going to hear it. If you're living an ungodly life and you have no desire to turn and walk toward Him, you want to keep walking toward the world, God's not going to hear it. You have got to be thinking of the things of God if you want God to respond godly. We have to. There's not a whole lot of choice in what's going on. And we live in a world and in a time where, Christian, if you're not praying, okay, you ready for this? Shame on you. Shame on you if you're not praying. Shame on you if you're not trying to change the course of this world. We need to be in serious prayer. And so the more one knows a person's thoughts or mind, the richer the relationship will be. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they're like, hey, you listen, the Bible, you can't take literally.
What does it mean?
Yeah, he's like, you can't take it literally. And I go, what do you mean you can't take it literally? If you can't take it literally, how are you going to take it? You mean you're supposed to guess and you're supposed to guess and I'm supposed to guess what God's trying to say? I don't think God left all of that up for guessing, because he says that we have the mind of Christ and we're to think like him and to be like him. And so it has to be literal. Now, there are some metaphors in there and so on and so forth, but it has to be literal. And so if we're going to understand the thoughts in the mind of God, that builds a richer relationship. Look here in Romans 12, 1 through 2. And I will tell you today, we're going to fly through scripture, because I have 80 scriptures and I don't have 80 minutes. So here we go. If we're going to look in Romans 12, 1 through 2. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, that is 12, 3. I want 12, 1 through 2. Did I not give it to you? Oh, bless you. I forgot that part. Look at that. All right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I love this that he says reasonable, right? Like, I'm not asking too much of you. This is reasonable that you could do. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Guys, listen, I'm going to tell you, thoughts are things, and where you spend the most time with your eyes and your brain, that is where your heart will spend the most time. If you're living in the gutter and you're watching things on TV and listening to things on TV that you shouldn't be listening to or watching, or on the computer, your mind is going to, listen, you're not renewing it, you're destroying it. And so if we're going to renew our minds, we got to get into the Word of God, right? So it's the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove literally means that you will discover it and then live it out. But if you're not in the Word of God, you don't know the Word of God, you can't live the Word of God. Amen? All right, Ephesians 4, 23 through 24. And I know you don't have that one either. Ephesians 4, 23 through 24. And then you're going to have Philippians 4, 8 right after that. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says this. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And what does that look like? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And if you notice, the spirit is not capitalized, so it's not the Holy Spirit of your mind. It's literally the spirit of your mind, your attitude, who you are. You have to be renewed, right? And you put on the new man. Who's the new man? The new person in Christ. And if we don't do this, guys, we're going to struggle. How many are struggling? Truth be told, man, this world just seems to be kicking your hiney. How many's in there, right? So in order for it not to win, we have to renew our mind. And then Philippians, go to Philippians 4:8, please. Philippians 4:8, because if I don't run through this, you guys will be here a long time. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Because if we don't meditate on these things, guess what will happen? We need antidepressants. And I don't know if you know, but antidepressants actually don't stop you from being depressed. They actually make your suicidal thoughts worse. All they do, antidepressants just calm your nerves. It's a sedative. But then it creates this. As a matter of fact, if you watch the commercials on TV, remember, if you watch commercials on TV and they talk about the drugs, I'd rather have the problem than the cure. Amen. Right? It's like, oh my goodness, I'm reading it. Could cause death. Well, this is just a rash. Why do I want to take the pill that's going to cause death when it's just a rash? Man, meditate on these things and a lot of your problems are going to go away. I'm just telling you, meditate on these things and a lot of your problems will go away. And I know it to be a fact, because there's too many people that have had success from meditating on those things. The word rendered serious derives from a term that literally means be in one's right mind. And so when we look here in 1 Peter 4:7, my apologies, he says, but the end of all things is near, therefore be serious. It literally means to be in one's right mind, to be under control and not be carried away by an errant view of oneself. And a lot of times we have this errant view of ourselves, right? Because we think we're way more than what we are. And we think we're way holier than what we are. And we think that whatever we're doing is okay because we're doing it because we want to do it. And so therefore this is okay. And God loves me just the way I am. So it's completely acceptable. Not true. Just say. It literally means to be under control, to not be carried away by errant view of oneself or undue emotion or uncontrolled passion. You know, no offense, ladies, but you are driven by emotion. It's the way God made you. Don't be insulted by that. God wasn't insulted when he did it, so don't be insulted that you have it. But here's what we do. We control that emotion. And men, some of you are like, hey, listen, I'm right there. I'm a passionate guy. But we have to control that. We have to control ourselves. And that's why he says here, to be serious literally means to control yourself and to not allow yourself to get all worked up and out of shape because now you're missing the word of God. And today, people are all worked up and out of shape. That's why we have 74 genders. I'm trying to keep, right? Because, I mean, it changes daily, and it's really hard for me to keep up with it. But why do we have that? Because they've allowed their emotions to control them. If you listen to my podcast that I put up last week about what's coming into our schools, what's the problem? They're failing self-control. The school's failing self-control and teaching the kids to fail self-control. One school in Florida convinced a girl to change to a boy. She's 12 years old, and they put so much pressure on her. They even changed her name while she's at school, but never told the parents. They taught her how to bind herself so that would stop growing and she could look like a boy. And then gave her a new name. Failure to control. This is what it looks like. And it's going on all around us. And we don't want it to happen to you. And Peter says, listen, you be serious, right? What do? You be in one's right mind. And if your mind goes contrary to the word of God, you're not in your right mind. And I know that's a struggle, but that's the reality of it. Amen. Romans 12:3 says this, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, right? In your right mind, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Guys, I'm telling you, as you think, that's what you will do. That's the way you will live. That is what you will act out. My pastor used to always say, thoughts are things, so you guard those thoughts because those things aren't always good. And things usually cost. And they usually cost more than you can afford. Thoughts are things. Be very cautious, right? Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. And so, guys, I'm telling you, if your thoughts are anything contrary to God, then God is not with you. And it is what it is. And if you're saved and you think ungodly, you're still saved. You didn't lose that. But God's strength and blessing is not with us when we're that way. It's just not, right? I want you to see that Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, he used the same term to describe the maniac that Jesus freed from the legion of demons. If you remember that, Mark 5:15 says this, Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And so much, because this cat was out of it, man. He was possessed, crazy in his mind, right? And then Jesus comes and he cast out all the demons, and now this guy's in his right mind. And it was such a contrast that the people that saw it, they were like, oh, wait a minute. And they were afraid, thinking, what in the world? This is not normal. But the same term that Peter uses is the same term that Mark uses about the demons being cast out and this man sitting and being in his right mind. Guys, I'm telling you, you got to have the mind of Christ. You have to be focused on the Word of God. You got to be driven to the things of God, because if not, the world will pull you under and drown you in sin. It'll destroy your life. The verb also refers to guarding the mind, Proverbs 4:23. And I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, and I loaded this thing up, and when I got done, I went, wow, man, that's a lot of scripture. And then I thought, well, that's okay. Hold on for the ride. We'll be all right. Amen? Hold on. Just ride the ride, and it'll all be good. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, wait a minute. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means that you actually have to control yourself. You actually have to take the time and bring the crazy under control. No, you do not have the right to act out anything other than the way of God. It has to be godly. And if you're ungodly, you're sinful and it's not right. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because for out of it, man, if you got lust in your heart, guess what you're going to struggle with? You're going to struggle with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and it's going to destroy you. And so with all diligence, with all of your might, with everything within you, and by the way, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have God in you, and therefore you have been equipped to have victory in this area. And so when you go, I can't control myself, well, then you're not saved, or you are not practicing diligence through the Word of God. And you go, Pastor, that's not right. No, it is right. You just need to accept it. I know, right? This is like, hey, happy Sunday morning. This is loaded. I'm telling you, Peter's got it loaded here. And guys, we got to get it. Amen. We got to get it. Because if we don't get it, it's going to get us. And I'm telling you, I'm watching this world, and it is rapidly, rapidly going downhill. Write these letters down. I want everyone to write these letters down. N-S-E-S. N-S as in Sam, E as in education, S as in Sam. And you need to research that. Because here's what many of you don't know. Now, don't research it yet. Put Google away. And here's what you're going to find. NSES. That is the new, it's National Sex Education Standards. National Sex Education Standards, K through 12. And they say by the time that you are in, or by the time your child is in eighth grade, it starts in kindergarten, by the time your child is in eighth grade, they will clearly understand sodomy, how to explain it, how to illustrate it if necessary. Oh yeah, and that's mild. That's mild compared to what's coming. That they're requiring the schools. 41% of the schools have already implemented this. A kindergartner, I can't even go into it in church. That's how bad it is, right? Guys, the world is taking over. Oh, and let me help you out. The NSES also said that they're going after churches because we, and this type of preaching that I'm giving you right now, and all this information that I'm teaching you to control your mind, because God says we can do this, all of this is the problem with society. And I am the problem. My preaching is the problem, and it's causing trauma to these children. It's causing trauma to these children. And so they're going to come after the churches. Guys, I'm not kidding you. Like I'm not even playing up here. I'm struggling with the world that we're battling. And if Christians don't get on board, you're feeding the problem. You're feeding the beast. This is what's coming at us, and it's rapidly coming at us. Who's prepared to fight? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're not renewing your mind and if you're not diligent with protecting your heart, you're not ready to fight. As a matter of fact, Duke and I, we were doing a podcast, and we were talking about how parents would stand against homosexuality, would stand against transgender dysphoria, would stand against all of that. And then their child comes out or a loved one comes out, and then all of a sudden they're for it, right? Because you want to protect your child and you want to love your child, and I get that. But the reality is, when you started supporting your child and you started condoning that behavior publicly, and you go against the Word of God and against the Christian who stands for it, that's really who you were at your core. It just took an incident to expose you. And guys, I'm telling you, you better keep your heart with all diligence, because Satan's coming after it. And he knows what you look at, and he knows what you listen to, and he knows what excites you. And so guess what he'll keep putting in front of you? That very thing. Why? Because he knows it'll capture you. And when it gets a hold of you, it's got you. It's like a bear trap. I'm telling you, man, Peter's telling us to be serious. Be serious. I mean, be watchful, because Satan wants one thing. He doesn't give a rip about you or me. He wants one thing. He wants us all to go down with the ship that he's in. It's a big chess game, right? Between Satan and God. Satan just wants to keep moving us so that we don't give God the glory. And if God's not getting the glory, Satan automatically is getting the glory. It's just, I mean, it's a given. And so we got to be diligent, diligent, diligent. We might go, it's just a show. No. It's rat poison for your brain that will get to your heart. And you lose the diligence. And the next thing you know, you're living out that TV show. Thoughts are things. You can't escape it. It's a truth that is unwavering. The Christian mind must be clearly fixed on spiritual priorities and righteous living. Joshua 1:8. And we're going to fly through these passages, so hang on, okay? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, look at this, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Go the way of God, it's going to be good. You go contrary of God, and you'll pay the price. Maybe not today, maybe not even tomorrow, maybe not next week, maybe not next year, but I promise you the day will come when you'll pay the price. Make no mistake about it. Satan will take you out before you won't even see it coming. And he'll take you out. But you meditate on the Word of God, and that would definitely keep you from it. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Listen, that is a promise from God. If you go back to verse 25, which we don't have time, so please don't do it. But if you go back to verse 25, it lists all the things. And God's like, listen, I'll take care of you. I'll give you. You will not need your necessities. You will not be in need of them. I will make sure you always have your necessities. But to get all of that and to get me to bless you and to pour out on you, you got to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. Many people right now, they're seeking God, but not his righteousness. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh Lord, save me out of this problem. And so you have the heart of Judas. Save me out of the problem, but don't save me. And ultimately, it's suicide, spiritual suicide, right? And so if we want God, man, we got to seek the kingdom of God. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. We have Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And guys, we need wisdom. Amen. I mean, we got to exercise wisdom, not brains, but wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What do? We got to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, which means take over. Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And that word soberly is the same word as with a sound mind. We need to live with a sound mind. And how do we do that? We dive into the Word of God. We live in the Word of God. We eat the Word of God, breathe the Word of God. I'm telling you, the Word of God becomes our everything. And then we can do that. But if the Word of God doesn't take precedence in our life, we're going to struggle. Listen, I'm going to tell you this, that objectives that a self-indulgent, deceptive world, heavily influenced by Satan, mind you, constantly seeks to distract from, deflect, and destroy us. That's Satan's goal. We see it in 1 John 2:15-16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, if you love the world more than you love God, then the Father's not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. Leave it there 1 second. Let me help you guys out real quick. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the only three ways that a person can sin. That's it. See, those are the topics, and then everything else falls underneath of that. Lust of the eyes. So every time I look at Lauren's truck, I have to repent. Lust, I'm like, oh man, look, dude, if you haven't seen that truck, golly. I'm like, oh, and then I sat in it yesterday. All the way home, dear Jesus, please forgive me. My truck is fine. No, right? Lust of the eyes, right? Because, yeah. So you were lusting after my motorcycle yesterday. Yeah, right? I said, Duke, do you see my new motorcycle? And he goes, no, you got it? I go, yeah, come on out. He was like I was with the truck, right? That's lust of the eyes. Listen, lust of the flesh. Alcoholism, homosexuality, drug use, sex. Anything that has to satisfy the flesh. Even cutting, you know, a cutting's a big thing. If you're a cutter, right? That's lust of the flesh. You're trying to satisfy. It won't do it, but you can keep trying. And then pride of life. Look at me. I am the man. That's right. Uh-huh. Right? That's why God said that salvation is through faith by grace alone, because if we could earn it, we'd be like, I got here on my own. I'm a self-made man. Yes, I am. No. And that's why when it says that Jesus is tempted in all ways that we are, it was these ways, but on a God level, turn the stone into bread. You're hungry. You're God. You can do that. Jump off the mountain, right? Angels will come and save you. And so jump off the mountain. That's pride of life. And then lust of the eyes. Come up on this mountain. Everything you see, I'll give to you. And what did Jesus do? He slammed him with the word of God. And I loved how he said, look, Satan, don't tempt the Lord your God. I'm your God. I love that, right? When you read into it. So what do we use? We use the word of God to avoid this so that we have a successful life. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't use the word of God, we will fall into the world of Satan. We will. It's inevitable. And don't think for a minute that you will not fall, because you will. And I'm not even trying to paint an ugly picture for you, but it is the truth of the picture. When believers' minds are subject to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5, watch this. 2 Corinthians 10:5, did I give that one to you? There's another one I forgot. No, I did. Scroll down. It's at the bottom. It's after 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. Remember I said a couple of them went in wrong order? There you go. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What this is saying is, listen, when you are thinking ungodly, you have the ability to take it into captivity and get it out of, so it has no control over your life, right? You have anything that goes against God, you take those thoughts into captivity. Anything. And how do we know what goes against God? Man, you guys ask the best questions. Read. That's how you know, right? We read the Word of God, right? We indulge in the Word of God. So now we understand the things of the world. And then it doesn't have victory over us. So when believers' minds are subject to Christ, we take everything captive. And His Word that matters from the eternal perspective. Look here in Psalm 1:2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. If you go back and read this in Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on His word day and night. Blessed, meaning that God, and literally it's happy, happy, like happy, happy. You guys get that? Happy, happy, like you're really happy. That's happy, happy. And blessed is those who meditate on the word of God. And then we see in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Meaning that if you're not real intelligent, the word of God will make you wise. And you go, Pastor, that wasn't nice. I'm reading the Bible. Let's look here in the next one, 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And this is what we have to do. Psalm 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Are you seeing what's going on here? The word of God will guide us, direct us, fill us, satisfy us. It'll give us everything we need. It'll empower us and equip us to do what? To stay focused on the things of God so that the things of the world don't take us out. I'm telling you, before I was saved, this is how I lived. I'm looking back. I want to know who's coming up on me. Anywhere I go, I still do it today. I try not to every time, but man, I gotta sit with my back against the wall. I need to observe the whole room. I need to see what's coming and going. Why? Because I lived that life that demanded that I do those things. But man, I'm telling you, when you live for the Lord, you're like, Jesus has my back. Let's move on. It literally makes that much of a difference. And then we see in 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. And I know this is scripture heavy, so I'm hoping you're writing this stuff down because I'm flying through it to get it all in. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, this is Paul talking to Timothy, right? Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hold it right here. The only way you can get saved, guys, is through the Scriptures. But if you listen to Andy Stanley would tell you, you don't need the Bible. You don't need the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, it's just a book. I start getting beads of sweat when I think of that man. Why? Because he's misleading people. And you're like, Pastor, you're calling out names. Somebody needs to. The wolf is in the room. Call him out. Look here in 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So when you go, oh, I can't believe the Bible, man wrote it. No. Yeah, let me help you out. Let's rephrase this. Man penned the words that God gave him. And we ended up with the Word of God in ink. is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for everything we need for us is profitable for. And then if we look, it says that the man of God, and I love this, guys, because look at this, look at this. How many of you right now, you feel like you're just lacking something in your life? And you're going to be honest enough to raise your hand. Okay, there's, oh, good, good. Got a dozen of us. Awesome. The rest of you, well, you're deceived. Okay, here we go. That I want you to see what the Word of God does for us and to us. Are you ready? That the man of God, that is those who are saved, it can only happen for those who are saved, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That word complete literally means lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. That we would be complete, lacking nothing. That's what God wants to do for us, right? Guys, I'm just telling you, when we look at this and we look at the Word of God, it is absolutely unbelievable what He wants to do for us. Holy living also requires spiritual alertness. Holy living requires spiritual alertness. I'm going to add a little coolness in here. How's that? Amen. Everyone said amen? Maybe. Ah, there we go. I saw it. Holy living requires spiritual alertness. Guys, we got to be on it. You got to be alert. And so that is in 1 Peter 4, 7, the word watchful. The word watchful is closely related in the meaning to serious, but it means being spiritually observant. Observant, which means that just like, remember I said, I make sure that the wall's behind me so nobody can come on me. And what do? I observe the room. And man, I stay observant on that room. Very rarely will you catch me off guard. Very rare. Why? It's just who I am, right? There's a couple of things that go on with me. Number one is who I was in my old life. That was just who I was, and that's what I did. Number two, I am a protector. I'm a protector at heart. Like, that's what I do. I will protect you. I will step up between you and trouble because it's just who I am. Like, I know several of you men in here, you're the same way. You're the protector. You will step up when there's a need. And so there's a whole lot of things that go on that cause me to be observant. And that is what it means here, watchful. To be that kind of observant. And you know the problem that we have most of the days and most of the times? Have you got your cell phone on you? Dude, you're awesome. You got an A. Yeah, I mean, who's got their cell phone? Who's got, right? Look at, boy, what are you doing with your cell phone out? Is it turned off? You got your cell phone? Look at it. Everybody's like, hey, new. Where's it? Let me have it, please. Thank you. Don't unlock it. I don't need it unlocked. What are you doing looking at this? Okay, I'm kidding. It's not real. She's like, look at her eye. I was like, ain't nothing on there bad. Right? The rest of you didn't want to give up your cell phone because you're afraid what I'd see. I know. I ain't got glasses to see what it says anyway. Let me see her. Just making sure. Oh, nice. Bible. Don't sleep. Wait a minute. Oh, it went away. Daggum it. Okay, I did see Bible fell. Good for you. That's rocking. Little Jesus up on the phone. Here's the problem, what we have today, though, right? And I see it all the time. All the time. Here's what we have. And guess what? Man, someone just slaps you in the head and you're like, so unaware. So unaware. Go on YouTube, not right now, and watch the video of people walking into the water fountains at the mall. Did I get that too close to you? I'm sorry. There you go. Thank you. You're awesome. There you go. Yeah, if it gets too close, just Anyway, and they're like this, literally, they're walking into the water. And they get up with a shocked look. Or how about the guy, my favorite one, this dude, he is like hustling. He's walking, but he has him looking up like that and goes right into a pole and smashes his face into the pole. And what you see is I'm seeing your alert. Okay, you're still good. And so he stands back stunned. His nose is smashed, right? And he's in this daze. Guys, people are not observant anymore. Not observant with anything. People will walk by and you'll know them. You're like, hey, how you doing? They don't even hear you. They don't even know that there is a world around. I tell my daughter when she goes from here to anywhere, I tell both of my daughters, you stay observant. You pay attention. Because if you got your face in your phone and you're not looking, and I'm telling you, someone can snatch you up. And you're like, oh, Pastor, you're trying to instill fear. I don't care what it takes for them to be observant. Call it fear, I don't care what you call it. I want my child coming home. I want my wife to come home. When I used to drive semi, I drove for about 10 years, and I would come out of the truck stops, and it'd be late at night because at the time you could run to any rate. So you could drive a lot longer. Yeah, and so it would be late at night, and I would walk out to the truck, and the truck would be idling, and the headlights are on. And I would see drivers just walking right straight into the headlights up beside their truck. And I'm thinking, the headlights have already blinded you temporarily. It takes a moment for your eyes to adjust. And if they're next to your truck, you just walked into getting jumped and you're in trouble. And so what would I do? So if this was my truck, I would walk up and before I get to the headlight, I would do this. And I'd walk to my truck like this. Why? Because the headlight didn't blind my eyes and I could clearly see all the way down the side of my truck in case someone was there. And you go, Pastor, you're a little freaky. Yes, I am. I want to make sure that I'm going to get home that night. That's what it's talking about, being watchful. To be observant of everything going on around you so that Satan doesn't take you down. Most of the time, people go, well, I wasn't expecting that because you weren't watchful. And common sense is like not so common anymore. Listen, I'm telling you, Jesus expressed a similar sentiment in Matthew 24:42 when he warned the apostles. Matthew 24:42, watch therefore. Remember, watch therefore. Listen, I'm telling you, and if you go back and read, we don't have time. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And so he's saying, be aware, constantly be watching, be ready. And then we see in 26:41, it says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Isn't that what Peter says in 4:7? Be serious and watchful and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Man, that is our downfall, amen? So we have to be aware. Godly thinking and spiritual alertness are crucial for the purpose of prayer. Listen to me. Godly thinking and spiritual alertness are crucial for the purpose of prayer. If you're going to the Lord in prayer, but you don't have godly thinking, you might as well be quiet. And you're like, what? You don't tell me not to pray? Yeah, I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. God's not a genie in a bottle where we're like, oh, give me wish number 18. No. If you don't have godly thinking and you don't have spiritual alertness, man, I'm telling you, God's not going to hear your prayer. If he hears it, he's not going to answer it in your favor, I can assure you. Prayer is the access to all spiritual resources. But believers cannot pray properly if their minds are unstable due to worldly pursuits, ignorance of divine truth, or indifference to divine purposes. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is the conclusion then? I'm glad you guys asked. Great question. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Now hold it right there, please. This passage is direct. Is talking about speaking in tongues, and Paul is addressing this. And this is what Paul says, because Paul goes through this whole list, right? And he says, listen, if you're going to speak in tongues, do it at home in your closet, because that's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you, this is the most important thing. This is the conclusion. Paul is saying, this is the conclusion of everything I just told you in this chapter about speaking in tongues. Here's the conclusion. He says, I will pray with the Spirit, His Spirit, with God, and I will also pray with the understanding. And then he says, I will sing with the Spirit that loves God, and I will also sing with the understanding. Why is it so crucial that we do this with understanding? Because there's no benefit if we don't understand what we're saying. There's no benefit if we don't understand what we're doing. There's no benefit if we don't get it. Now listen, if you are here and you speak in a tongue with God, praise Jesus, but do it in a closet by yourself between you and God. Paul makes that clear, but he says, listen, for me, I'm going to do everything I do with understanding. Why? Because what benefit is it if there's no understanding? And who does it edify but yourself if there's no understanding? And Paul talks about that. And so we see here in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen, I'm telling you, we go to God making sure that we are right with God so He'll hear us and we'll hear from Him. Guys, I'm telling you, there's this whole process. So these people who are not saved, they're like, I pray every day. You're wasting your time. God's not going to hear you. You're wasting your effort. You're wasting your time because why? Your things are on the world. They're not on God. And God has no desire to bless you when you're not a blessing to Him. And you go, Pastor, I don't agree. You don't have to agree with me. But if you take a stand opposite of me, you're disagreeing with the Word of God. I'm just simply reading the verses. 1 John 5:14 through 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, and here's the key, according to His will. Right? That's the key. We pray and we ask according to God's will. Well, how do we know God's will? Man, you guys are the best at questions today. Here's how we know. We read, and we'll know God's will. Why? Because then we know the mind of God. We know the desires of God. We know the things of God. We know what He expects from us, and we know what He expects us to stay away from. All of a sudden, we start understanding all the things of God, and then guess what? We have the mind of Christ, and we're going to see that here in a minute. And then if it's according to His will, guess what? He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. But you got to be living right. Your mind has to be set on God. Your heart has to be set on God. If it's not, don't expect anything. We read that in James. Just read the book of James. If you're a double-minded man, you're unstable in all your ways, and don't expect anything from God that you ask for. Right? Why? Because God says, I don't honor sin. And so these people are like, oh, God's blessing me, God's blessing me, and your life is just a toilet of sin. God ain't blessing you. I mean, a God might be blessing you, but it's not the God of heaven blessing you when you're living in sin. That's Satan trying to keep you distracted from God. I mean, let's just be honest, guys, right? Someone say amen. Give me an amen up there. Thank you. All right, here we go. Listen, Christians who seriously study Scripture and discover its profound truths about God, that's when you experience communion with Him. Look here in Psalm 42:1. Psalm 42:1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. When we get to this point, man, that's when God is pleased with us. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Hold it right here, please. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he'll do what? He will keep my word. Guys, if you don't keep the word of God, you don't love God. If you read this and it says abstain from, run from, do not observe, do not think of, if you're reading that and you're still doing all that it says do not, you don't love God. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't have pretend holy righteousness. You're deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving anybody watching you, I can assure you of that. And God sees it all. If you keep His word, you love Him, and the Father will love you. If you don't, you could be the prodigal son that's just left out until you return. That's a reality. 2 Corinthians 13:14. I know some of this is good and some of it's like, but ride with it, right? It's ups and downs, roller coaster. Here we go. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This is what we want. Why? Because we're in the Word of God, and this is what we receive when we're in the Word of God. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You want to have fellowship with God? You got to do what the Word of God says, or else you take yourself out of it. Paul called this mind of, the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we're without excuse. That's why God can hold us accountable. If you're born again, you have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, that means that you have the conviction from the Holy Spirit, which now means that God can hold us accountable for every act that we do, whether it is against Him or for Him. Why? We have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we are without excuse. I know, I'm taking away some of your ammo, aren't I? That's okay. You'll be all right. You'll ignore me after you leave here if you want to. All right, here we go. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, I'm telling you, man, God has empowered us and He has equipped us and He has made it very clear in His word. I'm not giving you the spirit of fear. Why are you running around afraid? Wait a minute. Why are you taking drugs to do what I'll do for you? Why are you letting anxiety rule your life? I didn't give you anxiety. I gave you a sound mind. What do you mean you can't control yourself? God says I've given you a sound mind. See, when we deny the power and sound mind that God has given us, what we have done is said, wait a minute, I need to justify feeding my flesh. I need to justify feeding the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and this is about me. And we throw out the fact that God says, I've empowered you not to live that way. See, you know why the world looks the way it does? Because the world doesn't have this of God, and so therefore they act out and live out what they want and what they see and what they desire, and they're constantly feeding this beast. And here's the worst part. The Christians have joined them. You know how I know? The divorce rate in the church is equal to the divorce rate in the world. It used to be 54%. It's now at 56%. And you know why it's not climbing much higher in the world? Because people decided we're not going to get married anymore. We'll just live together. Why make the commitment? It's a way out. And God says, listen, I've given you a sound mind. I've given you my word. And so therefore, you are without excuse. And I'm talking to the Christians. The lost world, the Bible says that they're blinded by Satan and they're ignorant. And I don't mean ignorant as a slam, because if you take me deep into a computer other than hitting a button, what I can see, man, I am ignorant of that. You just don't know. Why? Because you don't know God. So therefore, you don't know the things of God. Holy living comes when believers read and meditate on God's word daily. Daily. So as to know the thoughts of God and to commune with Him according to His will. And Jude calls this praying in the Holy Spirit, verse 20, Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourselves up. How many like to go to the gym? Well, it was like, if you'd asked me January 2nd, I'd have been like, me? But you asked me all up in April now, end of April, not so much. I've had too much February candy and Easter candy, and I looked in the mirror and went, the gym can wait. If you go to the gym, or if you watch somebody go to the gym, and you watch an athlete, what you find is they build themselves up. They get stronger. Their endurance gets more. And now all of a sudden, they started out and they could run to the end of the driveway. And then to the stop sign. And then around the block. And then a mile. And then 2 miles, and then 5 miles, and then 10 miles. And before you know it, they're running a marathon. It's building yourself up on what? Your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, the Holy Spirit goes on our behalf as Jesus goes on our behalf. But that means you have to practice this. Not once a month or once a year, but daily. Daily. If I eat healthy one day of the week and I eat really bad 6 days of the week, guess what's going to win? 6 days of the week. You come to church one day of the week and 6 days of the week you're living for you and the world. And it ain't going to take long for one day of the week doesn't matter anymore. And that goes with anything that we do. I'm just telling you how to walk with Jesus, how to get the blessing of God on you, and how to keep the junk from the world out of your home, out of your mind, out of your heart. But it starts with a relationship. And that's what I want to offer you today, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to change that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to heaven to the Father except through Him. And so if you think you're going to heaven, but yet you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. Not because I'm judging you, but it's because it's God's heaven and it's God's word and it's God's way. And that's what His word and His way says. So if it's your desire to surrender your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you pray this prayer. Now, let me help you. This prayer is simply a roadmap to walk you through the process. The words are not magical. The words do not save you. Please do not think that if you say these words that you're automatically going to heaven. If in your heart you don't believe the words you're about to pray, don't pray the words. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. So you can't earn this. You can never be good enough because we as a people have to pay for the sins we've already committed against God. And Jesus says, I'll pay that price for you. But if you don't believe unto me, you're on your own. If it's your desire to believe unto Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and believe that he is the only way to heaven and that he came as the Savior of the world and that he died on the cross, he was buried in a tomb, he rose on the third day and he's at the right hand of the Father today. If you believe that and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, trusting him as your Lord and Savior, then pray this prayer quietly into yourself. Jesus, today I surrender. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things that went against you. But I believe that you came and died on the cross for me. And I believe that you are the only way to heaven. And today I surrender my life to you. Today is my new spiritual birthday where I am born again. I ask that you forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. And today I repent. I am going to turn from the way I've been walking, following the world. I'm going to turn from that and I'm going to turn toward you. I repent and I follow you. I turn to you, God, and I follow you. Today, I surrender all and I am yours.